الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون Sadaqallahu al-Azim. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home of the receivers, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman, giving us this beautiful deen of Islam, guiding us with the most beloved of his messengers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the final messenger, whose life was akmal, ajmal, ashal, his tariqah was the most beautiful, most perfect, most easy to follow, who guided us in every facet of our life, whether it was regarding our eating, or drinking, or sleeping, or living, our social etiquettes, whether it was when it comes to monetary dealings. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us every single thing that we require. Our deen is most perfect. There are no deficiencies whatsoever. There are no flaws. There are no shortcomings in our deen. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ Allah perfected this deen of Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the most perfect manner, in his sunnah way of life, which is full of beauty and full of nur, has showed us how to conduct ourselves and how to live ourselves in this world, how to live our lives in this world. To the extent that even when a believer has to go to relieve himself, when we go to the toilet, there are adab and etiquettes. There are sunnat. There is a way in which a believer relieves himself. When we come into the masjid, when we go home, when we in the bazaars, wherever we are, whether we are at home or we are traveling, there are etiquettes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us as a guideline. Our deen is so pure. My respected brothers and elders, we are now in that month of the year, at that part of the year, which is the tail end, as we say, of this year. And it is this time of the year where generally people take a break, they are on a holiday, schools are closed, colleges, varsities are closed, many businesses will also close, factories will close. It is the time that people normally travel, some locally, some abroad. And therefore I feel it is more appropriate to discuss the etiquettes of safar, of traveling. And of course we will also briefly touch or briefly discuss this part of the year which is known by the silly people of this world as a silly season. It is known as a silly season. When a person travels, the Arabic word for traveling is safar. When one analyzes the actual meaning of safar, safar actually means to unveil, to uncover. Yasfiru an akhlaqi sahibihi. When a person is traveling, he has comrades with him. He has people who join him on the journey.
So when people are joining him on the journey, that is the real time when he will get a true reflection of the behavior, conduct and character. He will come to know who these people are, his friends or the people traveling with him who have accompanied him on this journey. Because on a journey, when you are traveling together, there are times when you will require some person's support, some person's assistance. People will share their food. They will help one another. So when on a journey a person is now with a group of friends or people, he will see the true color of the person. Is he being a miserly person? Is he sharing his food with me? Is he helpful? Is he polite? Is he giving preference over himself to the rest of the people who are traveling with? So the true character becomes unveiled. And that is the meaning of safar. That is the meaning of journey in Arabic. Where the akhlaq of the person now becomes unfolded, unveiled. Nonetheless, as I mentioned, it is a time when people generally take a break. It is of extreme importance that whilst a person takes a break, and it is permissible in Sharia to take a break, to take some rest, to relax your mind. And in Arabic, the correct word for this is ijmam, where a person takes a break, he rests his mind. The entire year he had a lot of pressure, business pressure, whatever it was. He wants to unwind. He wants to relax his mind, relax his body. But the purpose should be to take a little bit of rest to be able to gain sufficient energy to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again. That is the correct intention a person should have when he is embarking on a journey. That I'm taking a little bit of break. Ba'da ta'ab, after exhaustion. Now the person will take a rest. Like a student who is studying. The matric students wrote exams and people in, and the students in varsity. So when a person is studying towards the end, just before examination period, you'll find that he wants to burn the midnight oil. And of course, he's studying for long duration of hours. But he gets a bit tired. So what he does, he takes a short break. He relaxes his mind. And when he sleeps, takes a short nap. The purpose of that is now to regain some vitality and strength and freshness and energy so that he may now continue to study for longer. So that is the purpose. Not that a person embarks on a journey, goes for a holiday, he gets so tired after the holiday that when he comes back home, he needs another break. So Shariat allows you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit after Asr many occasions the garden of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. So he would come out and he would go into the garden of Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. There should be a well and he would dip his Mubarak legs in the water of this well. There are incidents where Sahaba would go with their families to the farms and they would pluck the dates, etc. We're not going into the details. To take a break is permissible. However, one should not break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst you're on this journey. And this is what we need to get right. That whilst we are having a little bit of break, we do not get consumed by the environment that we are going into. And we completely become negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned in the beginning, our deen is most pure, most perfect. Everything has been shown to us. There are no shortcomings in our deen. That now we have to look somewhere else and take in the customs of others and the merrymaking of others and bring that into our life and fall into a mode and mood of a festive season wherein we have no scruples in our life our iman, Allah save us, weakens. And how many a sister of ours, a daughter of ours, has even lost her izzat during this period because of all the vice and evil that becomes prevalent. Like one person mentions, he says, in this period, right till the new year or even after that, when this blaring of music and the young woman, the parade on the promenade, showing off and revealing their bodies, they are not semi-naked. In fact, many of them are absolutely naked. May Allah save us. There's an eruption. There's an eruption of a gigantic, riotous street party that takes place when everybody becomes involved in celebrating, in merrymaking, in reveling, in enjoying without any limits. People actually become wild. They will paint their faces. They'll be binging, they'll be drinking. Drugs will become freely available. It is that period of time when doctors will tell you how busy they are, how busy the hospitals are, the trauma unit especially. A mu'min doesn't fall into this trap of shaitan. A mu'min has Allah in front of him. He has a sunnah in front of him. He has realized how valuable this is. He has realized that the moment I move away from this pure way of life, and I become consumed by the mood and mode and way of life of others, who are not believers, then there is a high possibility that my iman is at stake. My respected brothers and elders, all of us are aware of what happens. Hence, when we are embarking on a journey, or whether we are staying at home, it is a time when shaitan goes all out. And when everybody is, especially in the beachfront area, and becoming so crazy and insane, it is our duty as parents to ensure that our children, our young boys and our young girls and ourselves also, we do not become entangled in the web of shaitan. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect our iman. How many a youngster during this time slipped. He was an innocent person, innocent soul. But because of the company he had, because of the peer pressure, he was attracted, he was pulled away, he was lured. How many a young girl, there are no fairy tales, this is genuine, she also became lured, peer pressure, she forced her way out of her home, parents were not happy, she went out into the night, and after that she became pregnant. Then they run to the Maulana. Is it permissible to abort this child? How many innocent youngster became a drug addict? Why? Because he became completely ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The environment is such that if you are not part and parcel of that type of environment and atmosphere that is taking place, if you're not enjoying and merrymaking yourself, then you are treated as an alien. Something wrong with you. Everybody is in a different mood. Join the mood. The instruction is to obey that type of life. Like in one soft drink, the advert was once, obey your thirst. Obey your thirst. In other words, obey your nafs and your carnal desires, your whims and fancies. Don't worry, go for it. Shaitan will tell you later on you can make tawbah istighfar. My respected brothers, this is a serious matter. This is a very serious matter. Nonetheless, coming back to our topic on embarking on a journey, safar, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned, and people go on a journey for various reasons. Somebody goes on Hajj and Umrah, may Allah accept the Umrah of those who have gone for Umrah, who will be going for Umrah. People go out in the path of Allah. Many youngsters go out in Tabligh, may Allah accept the coming out. There are people who go just to visit some pious person. Like there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deputes an angel to stand in a certain place on the road where there was one person who was traveling on the road, and the angel stops him. And this person does not know this is an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are you going? He says, I'm going to visit a certain brother of mine. Have you done him a favor and you're going now to collect the favor from him? You're going to collect something from him? Some ni'mat? He says, no, I'm being solely because he is my brother and I love him for the sake of Allah. The angel then tells him what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, that Allah loves you. Allah loves you because of your love for that Muslim brother of yours. Allah now loves you. So this should be our intention. And if you're going with our family for the break, again, make it with the niyat of ibadah. That you are going to go for a break and come back so that now you may become fresh again to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than before. And of course, this does not mean when you're taking a break, then you're discarding your salah and you're discarding your tilawat and zikr and now you're taking off from the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By no means, one should do so. So Imam Shafi Rahman says, تَغَرَّبْ عَنِ الْأَوْطَانِ فِي طَلَبِ الْعُلَىٰ فَسَافِرْ فَفِي السَّفَرِ خَمْسُ فَوَائِدٍ. He says, travel. Move away from your town for a little while with the purpose of seeking loftiness. How? Seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, there are five benefits in traveling. The very first benefit, تَفْرِيجُ هَمِّن. As I mentioned, a person wants to de-stress himself. So he takes a break, he relaxes his mind. وَقْتِسَابُ مَعِيشَ. Sometimes a person has to go abroad because you know of the competition that takes place today. So sometimes a person is forced to go travel overseas, just to go to China or wherever, to see for suitable goods that he can bring and import and he can sell it in the market. So he goes out, he travels for the purpose of earning a livelihood, and this is permissible. وَعِلْمٍ وَآدَابٍ وَصُحْبَةِ مَاجِدٍ. And he says to acquire knowledge. You find people leaving their hometown and they go far away to learn dini knowledge. And to learn etiquettes. When we will go, we will visit our Muslim brothers and we will see their mannerisms. Sometimes we do not have politeness in us. And we go to a certain group of people and we see how humble they are, how polite they are, how caring they are, how generous they are. So these are all etiquettes that we will learn whilst we are traveling. And of course, most importantly, is to have the company of the good, pious people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, he would love to embark on a journey on a Thursday. Of course, it's not compulsory. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as narrated in the hadith, that he would, by Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, that Rasulullah most often he would travel on a Thursday. Very rarely he would come out on some other day. So generally it was his habit to come out on a Thursday. So if a person come out on a Thursday, there's another sunnah that he can bring in his life. And then when a person travels, he should not travel alone. This is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah says, لو أن الناس يعلمون ما أعلم من الوحدة ما صار راكب بليل وحدة. If the people only know the harms of traveling alone at night that I am aware of, a person, a rider will not travel all alone at night. And of course, especially in our times, we understand, sometimes you're traveling all alone, and if you run short of petrol, you get stuck, you're all alone. If you don't have a cell phone, or you're in such an area where there's no assistance, Oh, suddenly you become ill. Oh, a person passes away and he was all alone. Oh, this is an accident. This is an emergency. Therefore, if you travel in company, look at the sunnah of Rasulullah. Look at the teaching of Rasulullah. Which religion teaches the people about they should not travel even alone at night? Then when Rasulullah would like that a person embarks on his journey in the early hours of the morning, Sakhar bin Wada'a radiallahu ta'ala, as mentioned in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, he says that Rasulullah made dua for his ummah. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Wallah, give barakat in my ummah in the early hours of the morning. The amount of barakah a person will get by embarking on a journey on the early hours of the morning or doing some business, he will not get in the remaining of the day. Sakhar bin Wada'a radiallahu ta'ala kana tajiran, he was a businessman. And he would send out his caravans to go for tijara and trade in the early hours of the morning. فَأَثْرَى وَكَثُرَ مَالُهُ, he became very rich. His wealth grew. He saw the barakah. So early hours of the morning, a person embarked on a journey. However, if he cannot, then no problem any other time of the day. But there is barakah when a person leaves early in the morning. Then again, a person should travel with partners, with friends. In one hadith mentioned, a person who travels all alone, then his companion is shaitan. Al-Rakibu shaitan. Al-Rakibani shaitan. Shaitanani. And if two people travel, still, Rasulullah wants that a person, that a group of travelers, at least minimum three people should travel together. At least minimum three. And then he says, when you are traveling and you've got three people in your group, and then one should be appointed as an Amir in the riwayat of Abu Dawud. One person should be appointed as an Amir. And who is the Amir? Amir is not a person who will boss the rest of the people in his group. He will see to their needs. They will discuss. This is our itinerary. This is our destination. It will be best that we leave now. It's best that we take rest then. If there's anything that comes up, then he will make mashwara with his traveling partners, his companions, and then they will come to one decision. This also brings about love and unity. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would embark on a journey, then he would read certain du'as. Now there are so many du'as mentioned in the books of Ahadith. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala mounted his animal, his horse or his horse or the camel. And as he put his leg into the stirrup, he said, Bismillah. Then he said, Alhamdulillah. Then he recited, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. And this verse which I recited in the beginning of the talk, which appears in the 25th juz, Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse number 13 and 14, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a dua. And what is a dua? That Allah is free from all type of faults. He is spark. He has got no shortcomings and deficiencies. And he is the one who has made this conveyance subservient for me. And we were unable to mount on this camel and ride this camel. And we are unable to drive this vehicle and this car or fly the aeroplane. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us this bounty. Allah has made these modes of transport subservient for us. Allah has given man the intellect to build these modes of transport and in today's time and technology so quickly a person can go overseas. All this is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah reminds us, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. We're going on a journey, and Allah, after a person reads his dua, Allah reminds him that we are actually going on another journey, and that is the journey towards the hereafter. And we are all going to be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, while traveling, let us take lessons from our journey. When a person embarks on a journey, before he embarks on a journey, he makes some preparations. And first of all, he knows his destination. I'm going to Johannesburg, I'm going to Cape Town, I'm going to Mauritius, I'm going for Umrah, whatever it is. He has a destination. Like that, we have a destination in this world. And our destination is the Akhirat. Our goal is Jannatul Firdaus. So when he travels, he has the maps. Those days we had maps, now we have the garment. He needs to know the route, the direction, the road in which he is going to travel. And our path is Sirat Mustaqim. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. And this path is absolutely straight. Perhaps the garment can become faulty. And perhaps the garment has many other routes. And sometimes it takes you far away from your destination. But the Sirat Mustaqim is a straight path which leads you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course the person will take his bare necessities. He'll carry his patkos. He'll take his, the important things that he requires on this journey, his clothing, his medicine, his food. And if he's traveling abroad, then of course he will weigh his luggage. Because they say now Mango and Kurula, they're very strict. If 1 kg more, and then they're going to charge me so much. So he actually buys a scale at home, a hand scale, and he begins to carry and weigh that luggage that he has. My respected brothers and elders, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, Zinu qabla an tuzan. Did weigh your a'mal, weigh your deeds before the day of Qiyamah, when your a'mal will be weighed on the scales before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at the resemblance that we have, and the lesson that we have. And a person will make sure that he's got his petrol full tank. And he'll check the pressure on the car, the tires of the car. And he'll check if there's sufficient water, and everything is moving correctly. In fact, he'll send it for a service before he's embarking on this journey. He has a checklist. I've carried this with me. I haven't forgotten anything. My respected brothers and sisters, let us check our hearts. The checklist of our life. Check the level of our iman. Check the level of our taqwa. Check the level of Allah consciousness that we have. Our tilawat, our dhikr, our bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as he travels again, he travels early part of the morning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned another hadith. Man khafa adlaja, wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya, ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-jannah. And this referred to when those people at that time, in the hot summers, they would travel not during the day because of the heat, they would travel early part of the evening. And Rasulullah would encourage this, that travel, set out in the early part of the evening, you will reach your destination. If a person fears, if I am going to leave late, there may be some enemy on the road. This may happen, that might happen. Therefore Rasulullah says, man khafa, whoever fears, that he may be attacked on the road, something may happen, he will leave, he'll set out on the early parts of the evening, as I mentioned, in those areas where it is difficult to travel during the day, and such a person who has his khawf, he will reach his destination. Exactly like that Rasulullah says, that we're all on this journey. And we should not procrastinate now. We are moving towards that commodity that we have purchased, and that is absolutely precious and expensive. And that is the commodity of Jannah. When a person comes out, of course, he'll fasten his seatbelt. And that is what we require, to fasten the seatbelt of taqwa in our lives. A mu'min is living in a prison. He cannot do as he wishes. He cannot eat what he wants. The merriment and the enjoyment and the pleasures and leisures of this world are for the disbelievers. For them, it is a Jannah. You and I are governed by laws where he is restricted. So he has the seatbelt of taqwa. And of course he's alert. He's not sleepy while he's driving. He's conscious. He can see what's happening. So he is very, very careful that his car must not go over any oil patch. Exactly like that. We should be careful in this life towards the akhirat for the oil patch of nafs and shaitan. The ploys of nafs and shaitan. The tricks of nafs and shaitan. And when we are embark on a journey, you know, we look for the radar and the camera and the obstacles, checking for people who are speeding. So we're very, very careful. Like that, we have Kiraman and Katibin writing every deed of ours. The other police, the cops sitting on our shoulders, and every deed, every statement that we make, they are writing it down. When a person embarks on a journey and there's some dust or some heavy wind, or some dirt comes on his windscreen, he will use his windscreen wipers and he'll wash away for the temporary time till he reaches his destination, and then he'll give his car a car wash. He'll take it to the car wash and he'll wash his car. My respected brothers and elders, in this world we also make mistakes. And the windscreen of our heart is our istighfar that we make. Rasulullah would make in one gathering 70 times istighfar, sometimes 100 times istighfar. And the real wash of the and scrub of the car of the heart is tawbah, sincere tawbah. If we have this in mind and look at the lessons that we are learning on our sojourn to the hereafter, that is our real suffer. As a person says, وَمَا الْمَرْءُ إِلَّا رَاكِبًا ظَهْرُ عُمْرِهِ. A person is just like a rider on the back of his animal. And actually he is riding on the life that Allah has given him. يُدْنِيهِ فِي سَفَرٍ. He is on a journey. يُدْنِيهِ بِالْيَوْمِ وَالشَّهْرِ. Every day that goes past, every month that goes past, like Hasan Basri rahmatullah, you say that innama anta ayyam, your only days. Every human being is a number of days, is a collection of days. Kullama marra yawmun, every time a day goes by, dhahaba ba'duk, part of your life has been gone, part of yourself has been gone. You're moving closer and closer to qiyamah. So the poet says, yabitu wa yumsi, he lives and he rises in the morning and the evening. بَعِيدًا عَنِ الدُّنْيَا قَرِيبًا عَنِ الْقَبْرِ. He's moving away from dunya. He's moving towards the qabr. May Allah Ta'ala protect us in this silly season, as I mentioned. We are not silly people. Rasul says, أَلْكَيِّسُ مَنْ دَارَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Become intelligent ones. Suppress your desires. There will be those challenges. There will be those invitations. Haram will pull us towards the haram. Shaitan will pull us towards the drugs and towards the woman and towards the haram and drinking and binging and towards the filthy and evil places. But suppress our desires. Prepare for the hereafter. That is an intelligent person in the words of Rasulullah. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah protect us from accidents, from all evil. May Allah guide us on the sirat al-mustaqim. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.